The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
We rolling?
We are rolling.
Welcome to Waterfall Wednesday. I'm your host, Nick J., otherwise known as Nick A. Johnson.
The Bird Nerd.
Joined here by Dale Luganbill, host of the Full Scale Outdoor Podcast.
That's
today we're
going
to talk about something that gets people real riled up. Sitka.
Sitka, bro.
Sitka. It kills birds for you, number one.
Absolutely. Scouts for you, gets permission.
But no, man, has Sitka done one of the most impressive marketing jobs I've ever seen a company do, the way they get people talking about it. I mean, if you're selling any premium price product, you're going to have those people like, why the fuck is that so expensive? People look at a Dave Smith decoy. People look at, you know, an expensive oil filter at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're like, what the fuck? What, you know, just it draws people's interest when it's priced the way it is. And they want to know, does a performance match that sort of a price? And so let's talk about a little bit about like what Sitka is, what Gore-Tex is, how it's used correctly, how it's not used correctly, what's worth it, what isn't. Sound good?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
What's your impressions of Sitka gear? You said you were thinking about making the
switch. Yeah, I might make jump this year. I had some like Fleet Farm bibs. They actually did serve me pretty well. They lasted 2 years, but they were just dying on me during the course of this snow goose season. And I was like, I just need a few more weeks. Like,
yeah.
Zippers hold out. Like, I'm getting rips. The waterproofing was no longer while my ass was getting wet sitting in the field.
So now you're like, maybe when I upgrade, I'm going to maybe look into these $500 motherfuckers.
And so I've been talking to a lot of other guides from Arkansas all the way up this spring. And you know that the snow goose conditions are probably some of the best to probably try this shit out in. And so I've been asking the questions like, is this worth it? Is, you know, would you get these again? Blah, 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 blah. And honestly, I haven't really heard anything bad other than, in full disclosure, honesty, I guess there's a zipper issue with some
there
of the Sitkas.
There's parts issues.
So one guy was really frustrated with his Sitka bibs and the zipper was not working.
A lot of that is user error.
This particular time, it 100% was.
A lot of it is because Sitka does a horrible job telling people how to care for their products. A lot of guys think if you get that $1,600 shotgun, you get the $500 bibs, you no longer have to do any sort of like care.
Right.
Actually, that stuff requires more care than your Fleet Farm bibs do.
Right.
And yes, parts wear out and parts break on everything. I mean, are you going to buy a $90,000 pimped out truck, fucking lifted, cool headlights on it, the works, rims, and be like, this thing's a piece of shit. I need to get an oil change. I need an oil change. I paid 90 grand for this truck. It needs oil.
I was going to say, are you going to beat on it? Because I would go, yes, because that's what I do.
But that's the same thing. It's maintenance. You got to do regular maintenance on anything you're using regularly. And Sitka does a really bad job at, number one, advertising what product does what, and number two, how to care for each product. It's not in their catalogs. So what is Sitka? Why does a jacket cost $600? Sitka is Gore-Tex. And here's why they did such a fantastic job like marketing this, is like the chatter, the emotions that it invokes out of people. Gore-Tex was invented in 1969.
Yeah, it's been around.
It's 51 years old.
They're not using new technology.
This is not new. This has been out right. for many, many, many moons. And all of a sudden people are just like, what is this? But you start pricing out like a specialized Gore-Tex outerwear garment for biking, for mountain climbing, for anything. A Gore-Tex is a licensed product. What it is a membrane of, I think I can't remember the type of plastic they use right now. They heat it up and they stretch it super fast. What they discovered was when you do that, it creates these little holes in that plastic membrane that are so small they won't allow water to pass through it, but they will allow vapor to pass out of it. So you're sweating, you're creating this body heat, that vapor gets to escape from the clothing. Meanwhile, it starts raining, that doesn't get in. So that's what a Gore-Tex product is. But you
breathable.
It's breathable, exactly. So people like pricing out specialized Gore-Tex garments, they are all in that price range, like $500 to $600 for a top and a bottom. If it's specialized for the way you want to use it, if it's got a Gore-Tex licensing in it, it's $500 to $600 for top, $500 to $600 for bottom.
So as far as like branding, so I mean, I'm not paid by Sitka. I assume
I'm not paid by Sitka. Nope.
But so not to make it like completely brand specific, look for the Gore-Tex tag.
Look for the Gore-Tex tag.
Whether it's a Bass Pro Shops brand or Redhead brand or whatever the fuck it might be.
Gore-Tex, their patent ran, you know, what do you get, a 20 or 30 year patent?
Something like that.
It ran out 20 years ago. So now you see a lot of companies that are doing their own stretched plastic holy membrane. The reason I stick to Gore-Tex is they're very good about their lifetime warranty. As long as you've been doing proper care, it's not user abuse. And I've had many, many repairs done on my broken parts, and they just have been doing it since 1969. I feel like these guys know how to make membranes. They've got the factories since forever. They're good about their warranty. So I stay pretty loyal to Gore-Tex. But if you look at, like, especially boot companies, Keen has their own membrane, like Keen Dry, and Cabela's has their own membrane. Everybody's doing their own Gore-Tex style of membrane. But so when we're talking about like hunting specific, Sitka, if you don't like Sitka, if you think you look like a fucking tool bag when you wear it, look for the other dozens of companies that are licensed through Gore-Tex, because Gore-Tex also does a very good job at not licensing their shit to people who make shitty shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do really well at like just, if it's got Gore-Tex in it, it's been like vetted.
It's a good brand.
It's like they're not putting Gore-Tex in stuff that sucks, typically. And if they do, you can get it replaced. So that's kind of why I stick with that. But if somebody's looking into the Sitka label, they want to start getting into, like, maybe I should upgrade my stuff, the first thing you need to buy is that $500 top and that $500 bottom. That is full Gore-Tex, because a lot of Sitka clothing is not Gore-Tex. A lot of it is Gore Windstopper or Gore Infinium. These are just different wind blocking membranes. Some of them are nothing, like the t-shirts and the whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's just a cotton shirt with the Sitka.
Some of them are merino wool. The first thing you're going to want to buy when you're looking at ultra quality, like ultra performance gear, is your Gore-Tex top, Gore-Tex bottom. Once you have that, once you've invested that $1,000, $1,100, it's got a lifetime warranty. You're now done buying jackets and bibs. You're going to want to get uninsulated. Do not get an insulated Gore-Tex jacket for your first Gore-Tex jacket. Because if it's insulated, you can use it for 3 months a year.
Right.
Get a jacket you can use 12 months a year. Because those Gore-Tex jackets with no insulation are so thin that you can layer however you want underneath it. Which brings me to layering. You can get your layers at Walmart. Once you got that Gore-Tex membrane on the top and the bottom, your layers are just... do it to your comfort level. There is certainly advantages to using like performance layering systems, merino wool, that sort of thing. But they sell pretty good equivalents at Walmart. And once you have that turtle shell protecting layer of a Gore-Tex around your whole top to bottom, you are good. Until you neglect to care for it. And that's where I see a lot of guys going wrong with their Gore-Tex. Is you see, you know, hunting guides, so they don't have much time on spare time to be doing laundry constantly.
I'll be the first to admit I'm the worst. I'm the worst at taking care of my shit.
But this performance gear requires a ton of maintenance because those little tiny holes that allow the vapor to get out, guess what? They get clogged easy as shit. So now if you got this plastic membrane.
Yeah, now you're sweating.
Yeah, this plastic membrane that's supposed to be breathable, but now all of a sudden it's sealed off, completely closed. I mean, you might as well wear a full neoprene bodysuit. I mean, it is going to be, not only is it going to not do what it's supposed to be doing, it's going to be miserable in it. And what you need to do is they actually make specialized soap for this Gore-Tex membrane stuff, and you need to regularly wash your stuff. Like, I like to say, like, if I wouldn't wear those, like, bibs to a bar and try to hit on a chick, I'm going to wash them. That's the point, they need to be washed. If it's a muddy hunt, you might have to wash them every hunt. If it is a... you know, kind of dry conditions, regular, whatever, you're throwing them in the back of your truck. You're rolling around in a dusty layout blind. The dust will clog those membranes.
Is this a hang dry thing?
No, you can dry it up.
Throw them in the dryer.
They actually recommend that you do it on a medium dry. Now, you can YouTube all these instructions, like on care and that sort of thing. But even your base layers, all this performance gear has performance care recommendations, and they sell soap for the Gore-Tex. They sell soap for the base layers. You ever get an Under Armour that starts to smell like shit, like an Under Armour base layer or whatever? It's because that soap that we use for our regular clothes cannot penetrate into the tightly woven fibers of a performance base layer. So that needs a little bit different type of soap to get out all the funk.
Or you're just a dirty, nasty, funky individual.
Yeah, man, I can just tell, too, when I've got my Sitka bibs on one day, I'm like, I feel like these things are getting a little clogged up. They don't look that dirty. I'm going to wash them.
A little clammy.
Yeah, I'm getting a little clammy in these. I'm going to wash them tonight, see what happens. Man, that next day I put them on, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a different, my nuts can breathe again. It's a pretty dramatic difference, and another thing that people aren't doing is reapplying their DWR, stands for durable water repellent. So from the factory, all Sitka gear has really excellent DWR application put onto it. So that's why people will say something on the internet, like, I was wearing my Dakota hoodie and I worked pretty good out in the rain. Not in a year it won't. That is not a Gore-Tex. If it's not Gore-Tex, it's not waterproof. It's DWR'd like a motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
So, and even on the Gore-Tex stuff, you know how you get the beads of water and it'll just roll right off the garment? That's what the DWR is doing. Without the DWR, it'll land on that garment and soak in like a cotton sponge. You still won't get wet because the Gore-Tex membrane will protect you from the water getting into the clothes. But the fabric layer outside of the Gore-Tex will saturate. And that's going to do two things. It's going to make your garments super heavy and saturated in water. And if there is a small tear, absolutely anywhere on that membrane, it's going right in. So you'll start to notice, like, ooh, back here on that armpit.
A little wet.
That armpit right there, it's starting to go through. Well, as soon as it starts going through just a tiny little pinprick of a hole, and it starts saturating through, and now it's saturating to your base layer, that little tiny hole is like the size of a basketball by the time the hunt's over, you know? So it'll expose any weak spot that you got. So you're going to need to get, there's a company called Nikwax, N-I-K-W-A-X. They make shit for everything. They make protective and soap cleaning, care, protectant, and use stuff for everything from your boots, your leather boots, your suede Nybuck, or what do they call that? Like the hiking style boots.
Oh, yeah. What is,
I can't remember. They make stuff for that. Make stuff for leather gloves. They make stuff, soap for Gore-Tex. They make DWR for getting your... You should DWR everything, really. It's for sure going to give you cancer, but...
All the good stuff does.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So people aren't washing this stuff. They aren't caring for it. They're not, you know...
That was like basically like the 3M. I don't know if you're... Are you old enough to know the Scotchgard?
Yes, it's just like a Scotchgard thing. Yeah, that's what DWR is doing.
Off the shelves because of cancer. Did they? Back in the day, yeah.
So yeah, these garments are super high performing. They are worth it, especially considering you get a lifetime warranty with it.
And are these aerosol applications? Or I think I remember seeing a video where you dumped it in like a bucket or some shit.
The DWR comes in two different application styles: a spray-on, and the reason that they say put it in the dryer on medium heat is where you want to dry your garments off, is because that makes it spread over the garment itself. It gets it really viscous when it's heated, and it'll go all over it. And then they also make a wash-in DWR. So when your washing machine, you just follow the instructions. When your washing machine gets to a certain cycle, you pour in the DWR, however much it says for how many garments you got. There's instructions on the back of the bottle. I have much better luck with wash-in DWR than I do with spray-on DWR. When you start using this stuff regularly and keeping your shit clean, I feel like the garments get better with time. Like, your Gore-Tex starts to work better and better and better and better. The more and more you wash it, the more you stay up to date on keeping it clean, using the specialized soap, using the DWR.
It probably appears that way just because every time you're using it like brand new. Whereas you're used to the efficacy of the garment wearing off over time.
Right.
From not care. So when you do take care of it, it seems like it's working better, but it's just working like it's supposed to the entire time.
And like, everything's going to have, all the specialized performance gears has its own care instructions. And check out YouTube for that. All these companies are putting stuff out, but they don't advertise it very well. And the base layers, they have their own soap. The merino wools, they have their own soap. And you're like, man, this is a pain in the ass. This sucks. Until you're just out there hunting in comfort every day. And you're like, this is awesome. I mean, what's it worth to you? Is it worth doing all that care? Is it worth the money? If it is, if you hunt a lot, if you're outdoors a lot.
I can tell you, being cold and wet and trying to stay in a field, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It sucks.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing will kill an experience faster than that.
Another thing that Sitka does a terrible job at is advertising what is full Gore-Tex and what really will keep you dry. Because the same guy that's, on the same hand, you see a guy going, my Dakota hoodie worked pretty good. It was sprinkling out on Saturday and I stayed dry. Then you got a guy that's like, this fucking Dakota hoodie got me soaking
torrential
wet.
Downpour.
Yeah, like it didn't work at all. It's not supposed to. That's a wind blare. So you pretty much can categorize everything for hunting into moisture, wind, base. You know, is it a base layer? This is what you want. Merino wool, performance base layer, whatever. Then on top of that, you're going to put a wind layer on. Because a lot of times it's, you know, there's no such thing as cold. There's such thing as wind. You know, like if it's 55 degrees out, you're like, oh, it's going to be a pretty warm day. Except the air's full of moisture and there's a 26 mile an hour wind and you're cold as fuck.
Right.
Then sometimes you go out, it's like 10 below and no wind. And you're
transfer
like,
of heat.
Right. It's like 10 below out. You go out, there's not a breath of breeze. It's as still as can be outside. And you're like, it's not bad.
Sun's out.
Not bad
it's
out here.
Nice.
Exactly. So wind layers are going to be your most important thing after you get your Gore-Tex shells, tops, bottoms, uninsulated. That's going to be number one to purchase. Don't be buying a fucking vest. Don't get those stupid beefed out sweatpants they sell. All right. You buy your first $1,200 goes towards the top, the bottom, uninsulated. And then maybe later on you can look at an insulated jacket. But I would recommend you get top and a bottom base layer, or not base, outerwear, top, bottom, outerwear, go full Gore-Tex. And then the next thing you buy is a replacement for the bottoms, because I can't live without bibs.
Neck gaiter?
I like fishing buffs.
Are you a gaiter guy?
Oh, I am. Yes, 100% a gaiter dude. I'm a fishing buff mostly.
Okay.
Duck Camp, too. They make an insanely nice neck gaiter.
So you said a replacement. So you're rocking two. You got two sets of bibs to swap out so you don't have to wait for one to dry.
If something bad happens to one, like the zippers break, I got a big tear on the knee, something bad happens, it's the middle of the season. This is when the bad shit happens to your garments.
Yep.
It doesn't happen in the summer when they're sitting in storage.
Right.
So, like, when it happens, I send those in. Lately, the last few times I've sent them in, they've come back within 3 weeks, but I've had it take up to, like, 6 weeks. So there could be 6 weeks where you're, like, limping along with the...
No fun.
With the Dickies bibs you bought at the Max Prairie Wings flash sale in, like, 2010, which that happened to me.
I was like, that's a lot of detail for a random story there.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I think that kind of covers the subject of Gore-Tex, Sitka, performance gear, what you're buying, what you need to do when you buy it, right?
So overall, you in your opinion, Sitka is worth the money.
Gore-Tex. Let's call it Gore-Tex.
Okay, perfect.
If you don't want to be a tool bag and wear that stupid honeycomb Sitka crap.
Hey, I'll tell you what. This as an endorsement for that Optifade pattern, at least in like a combine cornfield, you take that jacket off and throw it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That fucker disappears.
Yeah, it works good, works good in some scenarios.
Yeah, it's not the end all of camel patterns, but in a combine cornfield, that Optifade is
is it good. I think the cheapest I've ever seen a Gore-Tex top and bottom was at REI, and this was not specialized or nothing like this. It was just like your standard two pockets in front on the jacket, two pockets in front on the bibs, but you could get a top and a bottom for total like $400. I was like, whoa. It's like 200 top, 200 bottom. That is a steal.
There's another kind of brand out there, Kuyu. You have any experience with them?
Kuyu. They've got their own. They have their own waterproof membrane.
It's not Gore-Tex.
They're not using Gore-Tex. Like a lot of these companies that are doing direct to consumer, like First Light and Kuyu, they've got their own membranes because Gore-Tex does not have the patent on this anymore.
I got some First Light base layer. I do really enjoy.
I checked out some of their base layer at the Western Hunting Expo.
Yeah, it looked nice. I got a wool top. It's got the thumb holes in it.
Yeah.
Man, is that nice.
The thumb holes are crucial.
Like, you don't get that wind, or like if you do take a spill or whatever, like, and you know, you put your hand in the snow and then, and the snow gets up underneath your sleeve and it's like right here where all your veins are.
Oh, I will say one more thing. You know what I need? I need a base layer with a hood on it.
My first light with the thing also has a hood.
Exactly. Here's why. When you start wearing Sitka jackets with the incorporated hood, and that are specialized for waterfowl hunting, the hoods kick ass. And your black hoodie you're wearing, you know, like the hoodie you always love hunting, trash underneath it. The worst item you could pick.
Right.
Yeah, I like to wear like a base layer, a performance base layer, then like a sweater. Like I like the buttons, like a turtleneck that come up like zippers get cold. Yeah. So I do buttons.
Well, okay. I mean, you stay at nice no hotels. Hood. You got to, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, you can collars, wear it out. You can wear buttons. It out to dinner and stuff.
Should but have no, a leather like, patch on the elbow.
Your jacket hood will be your hood. Yeah. So yeah, don't wear a hoodie underneath it. That covers it.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Another successful Waterfowl Wednesday with Nick J.
Buy some Gore-Tex and buy some soap for it right with it.